Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the book of Judges in the Old Testament, chapter 12. A short story, but a powerful story. And it reads like this. The Gileadites captured fjords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim. And whenever a survivor of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he replied, "No," then they said, "All right, say Shibboleth, S-H-I-B, etc., Shibboleth." If he said Sibboleth, S-I-B, because he could not pronounce the word correctly, they seized him and killed him at the fjords of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Well, that's a hard scene, hard scripture there to read, but a reminder maybe in the first month of this new year to see in our own lives how the foundations, the priorities, the values, and the bottom lines of our lives are doing. Things which ultimately guide our decisions, our direction, and impact in the days ahead. I'll never forget Linda's words that day 44 years ago. She called me from the boys' club baseball field. She was sitting in the stands by herself watching our son's game. I was at the law office, and she told me Nathan's T-ball game was half over. I'd lost track of time working on something I viewed as important. Her voice was soft, but it had a twinge of disappointment to it. I just started working with a law firm in Gainesville after clerking for a federal judge for 2 years in Tampa. And I had allowed my schedule to begin to be dictated almost solely by the demands and the expectations of my new career and that law firm. My values and responsibilities seemed obvious to me. Surely Linda would understand. And my 9-year-old son, Nathan, he would understand too, wouldn't he? That's what I told myself anyway. I was establishing my career in this new firm, and I was doing it all for them. That was my reasoning anyway. So her words hit hard later as I walked out of Nathan's room, having just kissed him on the forehead while he slept after I'd gotten back from the office. "You know," she said, "today was the third game in a row of your son's games that you've missed." The anger that I felt at her words for not understanding my workload was replaced quickly with tears as I thought about the little boy I had just kissed while he was sleeping, who thought I hung the moon. She was right. Tears flowed as I realized that I had been allowing the expectations of the law firm to have priority over the expectations of a little boy on the baseball field who was looking toward the parking lot for my car or in the stands to see if I was there yet. I had let the world's values become my values, my bottom line leading me on a course like that one that had happened to me as a child, and worse, toward the loss of a once-in-a-lifetime sacred gift, the relationship with my son. And so I changed. Since I had played and coached baseball, and I knew the game, the next year I coached Nathan's team and coached all of his baseball teams thereafter until he graduated from high school and left to play at college. And I began to work on other priorities as well, and what I valued in life and what should be the rudder to guide my life. Each day I valued my time and my decisions and schedule with regard to the most important people and things that God had placed in my life. I didn't get it right all the time, but I kept working at it and kept reordering my priorities, trying to get it right. What about you? My friends, how are you doing with spending time with the important people in your life? What and who occupies your time each day? How are your children and other family members? Have you talked to them lately? Have you sent them a note? How much time have you spent with them lately? How does your time with them compare with time spent climbing ladders and seeking worldly success and recognition? In the weeks ahead, who or what is on your schedule, on your day timer, or on the schedule on your cell phone? Is God smiling on the priorities that you've chosen to follow today and in the weeks ahead? Look, this is one of those times together where if what I'm sharing seems a bit hard, I'm sorry. And if you want to stop listening, I get it. That's okay. But even if you all stopped now, whoever's listening, I'll keep going. And I will in this because I recorded it. Because I need to hear this worse than anybody. Because the simple truth is that in the midst of the pace of our lives, we all need a rudder. We can count on a pole star of lasting values to which we can turn and return to that will guide us, that we can count on and trust in those times when the world tries to pull us in all the wrong directions. In the passage from the Old Testament book of Judges that we read, two tribes had a great battle, and the Gileadites, the good guys, defeated the Ephraimites, the not-so-good guys, and seized the fjords around the Jordan River in Israel to prevent their escape. The fjords were the shallow areas of the river that someone could walk through if they wanted to get away. And to assure that the captive Ephraimites did not escape, the Gileadites selected a password that would be difficult for the Ephraimites to pronounce because it contained a consonant, the letter H, which was not in the Ephraimites' dialect. So the Ephraimites could move about within the areas of confinement, but if they attempted to cross the fjords to escape, they would be asked by a guard who was positioned at that spot to say the word Shibboleth, S-H-I-B, Shibboleth. If they could say Shibboleth, then it showed that they were a Gileadite, one of the good guys, and they would be allowed to pass. But if they said Sibboleth, S-I-B, instead of Shibboleth, S-H-I-B, the differences in their heritage and dialect would be revealed. They were recognized as the enemy, and they were summarily executed for trying to escape. Webster's Third New International Dictionary defines the word Shibboleth, S-H-I-B, in part as a customer usage regarded as a criterion for distinguishing members of one group from those of another. So, what is the Shibboleth of your life? What identifies you to others? What is the Shibboleth of your faith? What is it that defines your life? What would others watching you say defines your life? What sets you apart to have the impact for good that your life is meant to have? It seems to me here in the first month of this new year, that is something that we should give some serious thought about. What is the bottom line of your life? Will it withstand the storms and winds of life? Is it one that can overcome doubt and fear? Will it guide you well in your relationships? Will the bottom line of your life reflect a positive impact on the lives of others that God has entrusted to your care? Is the Shibboleth that defines you a steady rudder for every step in every day of your life? May I suggest that your Shibboleth, your rudder, your bottom line, your identity, which God is calling you to live out, will not be found in the values that the world tells us are important. It won't be found in a list of accomplishments or on a resume of awards, championships, or honors. You may think so at times. Trust me, the world will be screaming in your ears about those things and how important they are. But the rudder, the identity that God is calling us to, won't be found in those trophies gathering dust or your name on some wall. It won't be found in the size of your bank accounts or home you live in or how many cars you have. It won't be found in your title, your position, or what others think of you. All of those are way too transient and temporary, and all are soon gone, real soon, and forgotten. And your Shibboleth, rudder, identity won't be found in reliving past mistakes and regrets. Hey, we can't go back. The past is over. But you and I can draw a line in our lives and learn from the past what we did good and what we did that we shouldn't have done, and move forward with God's grace and Him in the days ahead and live out our Shibboleth, which tells the world now, today, who we are. And the Shibboleth, which defines and identifies you and me to the world, setting us apart from the world, and which allows us to touch the world for good, is found in a relationship with the living God who created us through His Son, whose birth we just celebrated just a month ago. A relationship with the God who was with you when you were born, who knows whether you were rocked as a child, who knows what your childhood was like, who has been with you on your happiest days and in your saddest, most difficult, heartbreaking moments. The God who knows our broken promises and knows all of our mistakes and all the things that we've messed up. And he loves you and me just the same. And is ready to move on, helping you and me to become the person he created us to be and wants us to be. That's the relationship I'm talking about. That's where we find our identity. It's that relationship with our never-changing God that should be our rudder, our shibboleth, the thing that defines and distinguishes us in all aspects of our lives. It will cause you to reorder your priorities so that when your 9-year-old son looks up into the stands at one of his games, he will see you sitting there. And you will find yourself spending time with those other important people in your life today and every day. That needs to be your identity and mine. My friends, embrace or re-embrace that eternal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Make that the foundation, the identity, and the shibboleth of your life in this brand new year and every year. It will make all the difference in your life as you then, with him, have a positive impact on the important lives that he places in your life and the others in the world around you that God sets before you and me every day. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder from an Old Testament lesson, a tough one to read, but it's a reminder for our lives to make you the shibboleth, to make you our identity to the world around us. And Lord, so that others in this world, those important people you place in our lives and others that you bring to us, when they look in the stands, Lord, they will see us sitting there because they can count on us, because they know we are there. As you call us to be there for them, as you are always with all of us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for each one of us and all you did through your son by sending him to this world for us as we celebrated a month ago. That's how much you love us. Thanks for always being with us, walking with us in the days ahead. It's in your son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.